Hey there, audio listener. Are you tired of your old bed sheets? I don't have anything I can do for you because bed sheets don't sponsor this show. But I would like to tell you about gold. Really more of a golden opportunity. Join Mug Club at loudwithcrowder.com/mugclub. It's the only reason that this show is actually available, audio version that you're listening to, or on YouTube. And we have a full daily show that you don't get access to anywhere else. So if you want to continue enjoying this show, Change My Mind, or the like, or if you just like to hate listen, you like to hate watch. People do that. I have a punchable face. Please do consider supporting at louderwithcrowder.com/mugclub. Join up today and you'll be a better person for it.
Whoever that'll be representative of whatever the people were feeling or believing at that specific time. And so the justices actually are, if you just get your head around that, the justices are representatives of the people.
This is Change My Mind, where we rationalize our positions on controversial issues. Today is installment 2 on confirming Amy Coney Barrett and this circus.
Leader McConnell and the Republican Senate majority have no right to fill it. It's just appalling.
It is you calling Republican senators and telling them enough is enough.
Nothing about this today is normal. This is not normal.
Are you and Joe Biden going to pack the court if Judge Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed?
This hearing should have been postponed.
And you're certainly not going to understand forces outside of this room who are pulling strings and causing the puppet theater to react.
You agree with Justice Scalia's view that Roe was wrongly decided.
Gotta ask you about packing the court. Well, sir, don't the voters deserve to know?
No, they don't deserve. I'm not gonna play his game.
Well, all right then. We've heard from them, but I wanna hear from you. Do you think there's any legal or constitutional reason to not confirm Amy Coney Barrett? Maybe even a moral one. What's the best argument that you've heard either way, on either side of the aisle? Let me know in the comments below. Now let's get to it. First, we have a lovely conversation with the fetching Samantha. Now, she says that she's new to studying politics, but she seems to have an open mind. Let's hear her thoughts. Samantha? Hi, Samantha. Can you shake hand? No, elbow? Okay. Just in the place. Do you need me to wear a mask? Okay. All right. There we go. Okay, Samantha, do you mind stepping in a little bit? Because this is our legal boundary where we're allowed to actually speak. Sorry. Masks don't fit my face very well.
Oh, no, you're totally good.
Because I have what my friend calls famous guy head. I have a giant noggin. It's mostly filled with some kind of, I'm told, plasma-like fluid, but I'm not entirely sure. So, Samantha, I don't know how familiar you are. We've been on this campus a few times before, but the idea of Change My Mind is to, and you seem chipper enough, and we've had pretty productive discussions to rationalize our positions on controversial topics. So, today's topic, I see no reason why we shouldn't fill the seat in the Supreme Court with Amy Coney Barrett. I have not heard anything even close to a convincing argument today. But if you think that there's something I'm missing, Samantha, you're welcome to change my mind.
I'm not gonna lie, I haven't really read much about her. I've heard, of course, like a few things, not much, just because I've been really busy with midterms, but I know I need to catch up, which is important. But in my personal opinion, I feel like we should wait for when the election's over to put another person in the Supreme Court, just because that person will be like sharing a lot of the same views that probably the presidential has, as far as like the Black Lives Matter and all cops are bad kind of situation, which I don't really personally agree with the all cops are bad situation, but of course with the all Black Lives
I'm
Matter.
Sorry, could you also speak up a little? I can't
hear
you.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, guys. I can't hear at all. I hate to, I know. Next time we'll try and bring some speakers, but I she has a very pretty soft voice, but I can't hear right now. I'm sorry. Could you repeat that for me? I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry. Where's my train of thought?
That's okay. No one will fault you for it. I interrupted them, but hopefully it'll make it easier.
No, you're totally good. So what was I saying? Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
You said something. I heard something about Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, so it got really quiet.
That's okay. So now they'll listen to us. That's fine.
Oh, that's scary.
No,
okay.
It's not scary.
Well, basically, that person will be part of the Supreme Court, which is like they'll share all the presidential like views, I guess, for stuff like Black Lives Matter and the view of if all cops are bad, which I don't personally agree with, but I do agree with the Black Lives Matter part because, of course, not all cops are bad, but there are some bad cops that are in the criminal justice system that we should probably handle well. And so that person will kind of be kind of in charge of that. And obviously Biden and Trump have different views when it comes to that situation. So I feel like we should wait after this election to see who we think will fit best for that position.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense.
I understand that you said, and I hear this a lot today, like, I feel like we should wait.
Yeah.
Why do you think we should wait? What's the reasoning to we should wait?
Because
Donald Trump is president, yeah. And there's a Republican Senate.
Yeah.
There's plenty of precedent here where
yeah,
you nominate as the executive, and the legislative branch either confirms yeah. or rejects.
Yeah.
So well, I don't know why we don't.
I feel like...
There's that well, word there, again.
Sorry. I think that we should wait because there's only a few days left until, like, the actual day comes to where we figure out who our next president is. And whether it is Trump and we keep that person, then he can, like, put another person on. But if we decide to change views on what we are today as far as, like, putting Biden as president,
yeah.
then he should be the one to decide whether who gets that position.
Well, there aren't a few days left, though. There are many months
oh,
left,
well,
and there have certainly
yeah.
been many months left since he... appointed since he nominated, Donald Trump nominated ACB.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's not like there are a few days left. There are many months
yeah.
left. He is president for 4 years, according to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's
yeah.
his job. He doesn't cease being president. So with months left, Barack Obama nominated Merrick Garland, right? Of course, Merrick Garland was not confirmed by the Senate because it was a Republican Senate. Donald Trump nominated ACB, and of course, it's a Republican Senate, so it's very likely that she'll be confirmed. What are you basing that on? And I hear this, a lot of people say, we feel like we should wait until the next election, but I'm not hearing any justification from people. And I, that's where I
yeah.
wonder how much of this opinion is instilled by, and I don't say this to be patronizing, but instilled in people by the media, because there's no precedent, there's no reasoning, there's no constitutionality behind the idea that we need to wait.
Yeah, I definitely, I'm not gonna lie, like, I have a very open mind, so you probably will change my mind. But yeah, media does play like a big part of it, and I feel like a lot of media that at least I've seen has been more on the like sides of we should wait, and
right.
a lot of like
we refer to that as
that.
Media.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that you acknowledge that. Well, let me ask you this, okay?
Yeah.
If the media is doing their job, and this is why it's not, like I said, it's not an indictment on you. I see
yes.
a lot of college students who, unless you're proactively seeking out media, this is what you will believe. Let me ask you this. From what you've interpreted from the media, do you believe that maybe this is a violation of decorum? Like, it's uncommon for a president to nominate a justice in an election year?
I don't feel like it's uncommon, especially since what you said about Barack Obama, but...
No, but I'm saying before we sat down and spoke, it seems like you were the impression
no.
that it was uncommon.
No. Because I'm not... Okay, I want to, like, put this out there. I'm just starting to, like... get really involved with like politics and stuff just
sure.
So I might be new to all of this and
okay.
very like fresh brained, so I might sound very dumb to people.
Well, that's okay. I'm very old brained. It's just a bunch of cobwebs and some kind of a, like I said, viscous plasma like fluid in there from Ghostbusters, a sequel.
Oh no, you're 21.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You're gonna be my favorite Change My Mind guest. So let me fill you in on this. It's happened, oh gosh, the puppy, now no one's gonna pay attention to us at all. 29 times
okay.
a president in an election year has nominated Supreme Court justice. 29 times. And when it's been the same party controlling the executive branch and legislative, it's been confirmed 9 out of 10 times. There was one exception because of ethics violations. But again, this would be exactly in line with the practice as it's existed for as long as there have been presidents
mm-hmm.
appointing Supreme Court justices. So I guess the question becomes now, since we're not so much talking about it, I think we both agree that constitutionally, legally, there is no argument against confirming Amy Coney Barrett, regardless of how we feel. But considering that that's what's been presented from the media by your own admission, maybe do you look at it and go, oh, that's a little irresponsible. They haven't been filling us in properly.
I wouldn't really say irresponsible because obviously the media is very biased, but...
But that is irresponsible if they're supposed to be unbiased, if they're supposed to be journalists.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I feel like everything has a lot of bias, whether that we want it to or not. So in our heads, we might not be like, oh, that's irresponsible because it's biased. It's just like, that's my opinion, and a lot of people don't see it as biased. So
I do you think the media, though, is proactively biased? You said
oh,
that
yes.
they're biased.
Yes.
Do you think they're honest about their bias?
Yes.
Really? See, I don't. I
yeah.
see Jake Tapper and Anderson Cooper and Brian Stelter and Chris Cuomo. I see them presenting themselves as objective journalists, where everything that you're parroting is a talking point from their show. Do you think that those people, Anderson Cooper, Chris Cuomo, Jake Tapper, Brian Williams, do you think they tell people, hey, I'm a left-wing activist when they present the news?
No, they don't. I feel like they don't probably say it as much as like present it, but I feel like they definitely know it in the back of their mind. Like, this is my point of view on stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but as far as like presenting it, I don't really think so.
Okay. Well, yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think they know it in their mind, and I don't think they present it to the American people.
Yeah.
And that's what I have a problem with. I think that they should be honest about it, just like I'm honest about my point of view from the outset, and I say, hey, you're welcome to change my mind. Mm-hmm. But I don't lie to people to try and convince them to accept my argument. And that's my problem with those journalists.
Yeah.
So, as you're getting involved in politics, and that's not mansplaining, I just happen to do the Harrison Ford point, the get out of my table. As you're exploring politics, I would encourage you to keep that in mind.
Okay.
Assume that everything has a bias, which you already started off saying, and I actually think that's very encouraging. Assume it and fact check it.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can be sure that you're getting the proper information.
Yeah, definitely. Right.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you, Samantha. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Nice conversation with a nice dame. Cute as a button, too. Now, remember, if you want these installments to continue, please do consider joining up at Mug Club. It's $69 annually for students, veterans, active military, and you get this wonderful hand-etched mug, the full daily show, not available on YouTube, uncensored, unfiltered, along with the entire Blaze TV's catalog. Go to louderwithcrowder.com/mugclub. If not, please do subscribe and hit the notification bell so that you can tune in every weekday when we broadcast live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Next up, we have a conversation with another young student of politics, an actual poli-sci student, to be clear. The difference is, he knows everything. Meet Kit.
Nice to meet you. Do you need me to wear my mask?
Honestly, it's whatever you're most comfortable with.
I'm most comfortable with not, if that's
Absolutely.
Okay. Here, I'll tell you. I'll wear it underneath my mouth like everyone's
been doing.
This
is like a low-budget talk show where we just like move the mic from one person back to the other.
It is a low-budget talk show. That's exactly what it is. So Kit, K-I-T?
Yep.
Okay, great. Actually, one of my favorite grapplers, a guy named Kit Dale. He is very impressive. It's a cool name. Also, the name of a cool car. So, Kit, I don't know how familiar you are with what we do here with the Change of Mind, but...
I was a very big fan for a few years.
Oh, no! Okay, well, I'm sorry that I lost you to the dark side. Maybe this is the dark side. Who knows? You could prove me wrong. So, today we've been talking about...
Maybe I'm a centrist.
Maybe you're a centrist, yeah. I'm kind of more center-right, I guess, compared to a lot of people, though I would just say I'm to the right of Attila the Hun, really.
Yeah.
I see no reason not to confirm ACB. Right now the hearings are going on, so what we discuss is, it's apt to change, right?
Yep.
So I want to make clear so that no one thinks that you've gotten something wrong or I've gotten something wrong, because they could be talking about something right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hirono could be going off on a tirade and all of a sudden everything we've said is invalidated. But I see no reason to not confirm her to the Supreme Court, and I haven't heard any reasoning as to why we should, but, why we should not. So you can feel free to change my mind.
Personally, just because of the jurisdiction that went into place during the Obama administration, when he tried to nominate his own Supreme Court Justice, I just don't think it would be fair. Now, I am in favor of packing the court or expanding it, because I am a very, very libertarian I think that more people in government, the more direct, I guess is the way you could put it, I think that's better. So I would be in favor of that just because I feel like it would represent perhaps the populace a bit better, because I do think that having such a low number in the Supreme Court, in such an important branch, the judicial branch, that could be perhaps negative, because it could be stacked one way or the other. And I do have my issues with the two-party system, and until a lot of those are resolved, I wouldn't feel comfortable having such a low number of justices.
Would you mind stepping in here just a little bit? Because we have to be in the range of this table, otherwise I'll be getting in trouble.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I heard you say that you're a libertarian.
Yes, I lean very not like the Libertarian Party, but I lean... in the terms of political science, I tend to lean more towards, say, democracy than a republic, if that makes sense.
Okay, well then I guess, that's not what a libertarian is, someone who really believes in extremely limited powers of government.
Oh, yeah, I do, but what I mean is I would be much more in favor of direct democracy than perhaps our constitutional republic.
Well, there's no way to have an extremely limited government by an originalist interpretation to the scope exactly of the Constitution, which is a libertarian interpretation.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a democracy, because everything would be settled by a vote.
So
I just want to make sure that I understand, because I don't see how it's a libertarian point of view to add more people to the courts.
I don't believe, because I believe that the population, obviously, we've seen the two-party system change very greatly. So, like, the Republican Party, for a very long time, take post-Reagan, was very individualist leaning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very, because obviously Reagan was so influential, he got the economy back up, he was such a personality. But recently, we've seen, I'm just using the Republican Party as an example, I can go to the Democratic Party too, we've seen it lean a lot more towards more,
I hesitate to say, I say federalist, more federalist, a bit more like statist, and there's a lot of things.
Well, federalist and statist are...
They're two different things, yeah. But what I'm saying is that...
So I don't understand what you mean. Is it federalist or statist?
I misspoke. I meant them, what I meant is that a lot more power is going to the state recently, and I personally...
A lot more power is being delegated to the state rather than centralizing the federal government.
Oh, no. Like, when I say the state, I mean the political concept of a state. So, like, the central government and the borders that surround it.
Okay. All right. So I want to make sure I understand. Because, yeah, if you were saying federalist would be about delegating.
I'm using a different terminology than I probably should because I'm using a political science terminology. I am a political science major.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I think you're using them incorrectly because federalism and statism are very, very different, right? They're antithetical to each other.
I just misspoke there. Excuse me.
Okay.
But I'm...
Well, I'm just trying to get an accurate read on your opinion.
So, pretty much, to simplify it as much as possible, I think that the more viewpoints that you can have in a concentrated area, the better. So, because it would represent the people a bit more, perhaps, you can have a bit more diversity in those viewpoints, because three Democrats, if they're all Bernie Sanders, that does not represent all Democrats, obviously, because Joe Biden got the nomination.
Who's going to represent the other 90-year-old white guy?
Exactly. But isn't that just politics?
Can be, yeah.
But
not really Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah. Well, senators tend to be a lot younger, is what I've noticed, because obviously you can't just become a president.
Right.
But I would just, obviously, and I don't know if the person before me brought this up, Trump has a lot of the legal right
to
do it.
I'm going to kneel. Sorry, my sciatica's bothering me. Fine. It's okay. You don't need
to. Obviously, there's some gray area there, but for the most part, legally, Trump can do this. I would not be in favor, because I think it would
the Senate, sorry, do you mind moving
Oh, yeah, he would be in favor of nominating.
You mean, he already has nominated, you're saying legally the Senate can confirm.
The Senate can confirm.
Right, okay.
I would be against them doing it, because I just think that due to their past jurisdiction most recently, with the Obama administration coming to a close, I would not be in favor of that.
I don't understand how one affects the other. Can you explain?
So, at the end of the Obama administration, obviously tried to nominate someone to the Supreme Court, Senate blocked it, and mostly it's because, at least from what I know, of that time, I was a bit young. The Senate was leaning Republican, as it still does today. Mm-hmm. It's hard to talk in this thing. You're right.
You can pull it down if you want. I'm totally fine. I mean, I just was tested negative, so I can't guarantee it. But
yeah. So I just feel as though it would be I just think it should go to this specific decision should go to whoever the president-elect is, whether that be Donald Trump, whether that be Joe Biden, whether that be, you know, Kanye West. Whatever.
I'm not really hearing an argument for it, though. I'm hearing that you would like that. I'm not really hearing it because Merrick Garland, I think you just made an argument for why Amy Coney Barrett should be confirmed.
Not necessarily, because what the Senate's voting on right now is whether whether to appoint her or not. Mm-hmm. And I would be in favor of the Senate not doing so. Because obviously having the legal right to do it and being in favor of someone doing it are two very different things.
Right. This is, because like you said, you're a political science major, and so I appreciate that you also mentioned the three branches of government earlier. Mm-hmm. Someone got a little testy when I mentioned them earlier, but I'm sure, as you well know, many people can't name them. So you have the executive, and you just mentioned Barack Obama nominated Merrick Garland.
Absolutely.
Right? He uses executive power, we would both agree appropriately.
Yes.
Okay. The Senate did not confirm Merrick Garland. Mm-hmm. That's their power that they exercise appropriately.
Yeah, that is their power.
Now, in this scenario, the executive branch, Donald Trump, nominated a Supreme Court justice, correct? Mm-hmm. We would both have to agree for the sake of consistency as two kind of libertarians, authoritatively, legitimately. Mm-hmm. The Senate has the same authority to confirm or reject legitimately.
Yeah.
There's nothing inconsistent about them confirming. It's not a split government.
Well, that's not really what I'm arguing. What I'm arguing is that I would not be in favor of them doing it because I think it would be hypocritical of the Senate's argument they made with Obama.
No, but their argument was that it was a split government. That's my point. Their argument wasn't just that it was an election year. Their argument was that it was unprecedented in an election year to try and force a divided government to confirm.
From what I know, yes and no. Just because of... very clearly, I think that I believe in the three-branch system. I think that checks and balances exist for a reason. However, I feel like I would not be in favor of this. I don't think it's right to just elect. I don't think it's right to just elect someone during an election year when obviously.
But that's what we've always done. It's happened many, many times in the past. So because you don't feel it's right, yes, necessarily. 29 times, 10 of those times, unified government confirmed.
I brought back the Obama administration, but the thing
But you're saying because we don't do this. We do this. I'm telling you, we do. We have historically.
No, I don't say we don't. I'm saying that we shouldn't.
Okay. But we do.
Sure, there's a lot of things the U.S. government has done in the past that I'm not in favor of. But obviously, my bigger point is I would very much be in favor of expanding the number of justices.
Okay. So it sounds to me like, and this is kind of what I've noticed as a pattern today, and I appreciate your, mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say attempt, I appreciate your legitimate communication of what I believe is a somewhat consistent viewpoint, because
Absolutely.
That's not always been the case today.
Absolutely.
It sounds to me like you were saying there is no constitutional restraint, there is no precedent, there is no violation of decorum, really. You just don't like the fact. You would prefer that they not confirm Amy Coney Barrett. But it sounds like we agree that it's well within their right and authority to do it.
Well, yes, to an extent.
I like it, you don't. But we both agree on the legality of it.
Yes, they can.
Okay. So, good. There we go. We can get rid of that. We can get rid of that sign.
Yes.
Now we can look and change to don't pack the courts. Change my mind.
No, but
so you support. There was another gentleman here who talked about packing the courts.
Absolutely.
You got a still? All right. And that gentleman left feeling a little bit differently than when he came in. He came in and said that he did support packing, that Joe Biden should pack the courts.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you expressed this on the outset. Mm-hmm. Now that I think we both found common ground.
Yes.
And we both found, I think we both agreed where we do disagree. Mm-hmm. I think that's productive. We can move on to the idea of packing the courts. Yes. You support packing the courts.
Absolutely.
Because?
I believe in it because there's a lot of diverse viewpoints in the United States. And especially in such a large country, where with such a variety of viewpoints and cultures, I think that it would only be it's only logical to then use that power of the Supreme Court to represent those ideas.
Okay, like what kind of ideas?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of different kinds of Republicans. There are a lot of different kinds of Democrats. There's a lot of people who lie somewhere in between, though they won't get elected.
Let me ask you this, but how many different kinds of constitutions are there?
Well, obviously there's just one constitution.
So is it your presupposition that the Supreme Court's job is to represent the individual opinions and viewpoints of those appointed to the court?
No, but it
because
would be...
I am under the impression, and this is just, again, we may disagree, it is their job to properly interpret the intent and the law of the Constitution.
Well, I mean, yes, but on another hand, the only way that can be balanced is if they represent a variety of viewpoints. And what I think is the larger issue...
I don't understand how that's the case.
A variety of viewpoints?
Yeah, I mean, there are a variety of viewpoints in that there are people who are left and right.
Well, because if the Supreme Court was strictly, was strictly Republican, that would obviously offset checks and balances a lot because the way that the Supreme Court functions is not just as, like... an individual, it's a collective of people
Nine.
Whose job is to help interpret the law, and I think that it's only fair if you represent a diverse variety of opinions when talking about that law.
Well, yeah, but
It's why the voting for the Senate works the way it does. It's why voting for the House works the way it does. It's in order to make sure that everything is represented.
Nope. Hold on a second, because you're a political science major, okay?
Absolutely.
So, and this isn't me doing the man. I just happen to do a Harrison Ford point. It doesn't mean that I'm cross with you. let me ask you this. You just mentioned
Absolutely.
The House. You just mentioned the Senate.
Yes.
What is the primary difference between the judiciary and those?
Well, you said it.
By intent.
Well, obviously... the Supreme Court's job, so to speak, is to interpret the law.
No, it is not meant to be a democratically elected body, a body of government. The Supreme Court, by design.
The Supreme Court?
The Supreme Court, we don't vote in the Supreme Court.
We
vote on our representatives, then the official representative.
Well, from that logic,
this really matters. As a political science major, maybe you haven't gotten to this part yet. That process exists for a very specific reason. Why do you believe the process is exclusively... exclusively, and this has been protected, the president has the right to nominate and the Senate has the right to confirm or reject, mm-hmm. and not the American public mm-hmm. voting on Supreme Court justices as they do with the House and Senate. Why do you believe that's the case? Because it is the case.
Early on in what you said, there's a little bit of a contradiction. And that contradiction is that we vote on every single specific little... we vote on, obviously, like, a vast variety of things, the president, whatever. We are a republic. We vote people to vote for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the president is obviously an extension of that, who they will appoint, who they will...
I'm sorry, could you walk in? The owner's going to ask him, because if we go beyond these barriers here, you keep walking away from me. I don't bite. I can't bite with this mask.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
This paper will protect
you,
as it does from microscopic droplets. Mm-hmm. It's just because if we're beyond this thing, all of a sudden we're impeding traffic, so
yeah,
I appreciate
absolutely.
You helping.
Well,
you said I was inconsistent.
Yes, because obviously We exist in a republic.
Constitutional republic,
yes.
Yeah.
As a republic, we elect people to vote for us. And the whole point of a president being able to elect Supreme Court justices is that we can observe through time that things tend to swing back and forth and back and forth.
Sure.
And so as a result, what will naturally happen is there will be a balanced mix of every single viewpoint that's been held for, say, the past few different presidents.
Mm-hmm.
Or the past few, I think, terms would be a bit more accurate, because obviously a president can serve more than one term, elect more than one justice, yada, yada, yada. Obviously, there's emergencies, like what happened with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But the Supreme Court exists to interpret the Constitution, and the only fair way to do that, to interpret the Constitution.
Really quickly, around this time, this guy decided to show up and literally play the world's tiniest sounding violin. That's not how you do it. Show them how it's done. Now I feel better about it. All right, back to the conversation.
And the only fair way to do that, to interpret the Constitution, is, in my opinion, is to have a diverse variety of viewpoints. Not only a diverse variety of viewpoints, but those that reflect the people's will, which therefore translates itself through whoever was elected president.
Well, but no, that's
time.
Actually not the role of the Supreme Court. And I don't understand where I was being inconsistent.
Because you were talking about, like, obviously, we vote on certain things, and then the president nominates the Supreme Court justice. In actuality, we, most of the time, when we're not talking about local elections, we elect people to vote for us, and those people impose whatever they campaign for.
We elect people to represent us. They're
representatives. Yes, that's another way.
They don't have to poll us for every single vote. The poll takes place once,
yes.
And we elect representatives. So I don't think there's anything inconsistent about what I've said.
Because this is also something that's important.
Sorry, go ahead. If you don't want me to speak, that's okay.
No, it's fine. It's just that I would prefer to speak more freely without interruption. I think that a very, very large...
I'm sorry, do you feel like you've been interrupted? I feel like you've been speaking quite a bit.
I have been speaking quite a bit.
And I haven't been able to respond,
but go
ahead.
I have been speaking quite a bit, but then you ask me a question, and then I try to respond, and then I get cut off. I can let you speak after I'm just finished with this little thought, if you so please. But what I was saying is that we elect people to... you were saying that certain things lie within the jurisdiction for us to vote in, and then the president elects the Supreme Court. What I'm saying is that there isn't really so much of a difference between us electing the president.
I didn't say that, though. That's not me interrupting when you're misrepresenting what I've said. I never said the president elects the Supreme Court. I said the president nominates and the Senate confirms or rejects. You said elects.
I said appoints.
Okay. He nominates and the Senate confirms or rejects.
Absolutely.
Okay. Go ahead.
So what I was trying to get to was the idea that, so obviously, when the president nominates... when the president nominates their specific whoever they see as the justice, right? It has to go through the Senate. What the thought process is that the Senate is usually mixed enough and diverse enough to a point where it can represent it can kind of work as a mediator between the highest power in the nation, the president, and the people, obviously, because the Senate is something that we can vote on directly. And so, usually the logic is that, I appoint my justice, and they pass through the Senate, and they go to the Supreme Court.
Can you clarify for me when you say, I appoint my justice, who's I?
Let's say that I'm the president, and I'm who should I nominate as a justice? This is some random person.
Okay.
Then they go to the Senate. The logic behind that is that the president we elect is reflecting the majority view of the country at that specific time. And so, therefore...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. With the thing that was buzzing.
Oh.
Who is representing the majority view? What were you?
The president represents the majority vote of the Electoral College.
Okay.
Right? And so therefore, when they elect a Supreme Court justice, that will be reflective. If they get appointed, that will be reflected of that specific whoever the that'll be representative of whatever the people were feeling or believing at that specific time. And so the justices actually are, if you just get your head around that, the justices are representatives of the people. And being that they are representatives, it's their job to represent the will of the of whatever administration that may have been, which in turn is a representation of the majority at that specific time.
Well, I would argue,
in a sense.
I would argue that's incorrect and really scary when combined with your view of court packing, because if you're saying that the Supreme Court's job is exclusively to represent
the specific justice who's being elected.
Hold. Remember the interrupting? Do we need to put a time ticker on this right now? Come on.
I've been talking for a very long time. Sir.
You've been talking for a very long time, and you've been very rude with interrupting. So let me finish what I am saying. I just let you go on for a long amount of time.
I'm an adult.
You can't
you
demand respect and not offer respect.
Well, you don't need to talk to me like I'm a child. I would prefer if we have a very level civil discussion.
We can, but can you stop interrupting? You just earlier requested that I stop interrupting while I wasn't, and you were interrupting.
Absolutely.
Okay. So my presupposition here is that what you've just expressed is very scary for a litany of reasons. And those reasons are, when combined with your idea of court packing, and this notion that the job of a Supreme Court appointee is to exclusively represent the view of the executive who nominated them, that is why it is not simply an executive who actually elects them, which was the word that you used earlier. I think might have been a Freudian slip. You used the word elect, and that's the one area where I had to correct you. He can nominate, and it can be confirmed by the Senate, because the Supreme Court is not meant to be a governing body. It is meant to be exclusive, separate and apart from the House of Congress, from the Senate, from the United States presidency, to be impartial. It is not meant to represent the majority will of the people. It is meant to interpret the Constitution. And so if you have this ill-conceived notion, I would argue, that their job is to represent that of the executive who nominated them, and that we should increase the number of these people under what? The authority of an executive who would nominate more, that is an absolute recipe for an authoritarian regime.
Sure. Just as a quick aside before I say anything else, I think that's pretty interesting with your ardent support of Donald Trump, who is pretty starkly authoritarian. However,
really?
Yeah, we can get into that
a little
bit
later.
That's
a mischaracterization of my view. Do you know what I support of Donald Trump and what I don't?
If I remember
correctly. And how is Donald Trump an authoritarian?
I only remember from the 2016 election. However,
lowering taxes, like no new wars, less regulation, that's authoritarian? More freedom of speech, more right to bear arms?
No, that doesn't fall under the authoritarian versus that doesn't fall between on the authority axis.
Well, let's go back to your argument then, as opposed to throwing out buzzwords, okay? Because that's not fair either. If you want to be respectful,
I would prefer if you didn't ad hominem me. So what I was
you literally just said that's ironic that you support Donald Trump as an authoritarian.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You need to hold yourself to the same standard if you want to have an adult conversation.
Absolutely.
So go ahead.
Absolutely. So what I was saying is that you mischaracterized my argument a little bit in that I was saying that the president, that it's a representative of the president-elect. What I meant is that obviously the nominee will be appointed by whoever is the president at the time. However, they have to get through the Senate, and the Senate works as the three branches of government do. Well, I guess, sort of, as it's intended to work.
What do you mean? Yes,
as
kind of, sort of. I don't understand what that means.
As they're intended to work. They don't always work one way or the other for numerous reasons. Lobbying, lobbying, obviously, biases that may be there. But when you have to elect a certain individual through the Senate, right? When you want to get someone appointed to the Supreme Court, you have to send them through the Senate, and that works as a balance, which is meant, and since they are directly representative of the, or since the Senate is a direct vote from the people, they should be representative of the people. So therefore,
the Senate's job is not to vote on a justice who's most representative of the will of the people. The Senate's job is to confirm a justice who will properly adhere to and interpret the rule of the Constitution.
Let
me ask you this, because we've been going back and forth. We don't have all the time in the world. So let me ask you a few pointed questions. I would appreciate if you answer them.
Absolutely.
Okay. First off, how many justices, what's the number?
How many justices do we have right now?
We have nine. So you're saying you support packing the courts. What's the number? What's the cutoff?
That I would prefer it to be at for the Supreme Court.
If you support packing the courts, how many justices? Or would you cap it at all, or should the next president just add more and more and more and more?
No. I think that just increasing it marginally to perhaps, it would have to be an odd number, so there would be a majority, to perhaps 13,
or...
Okay, 13.
If we expand it to 15, that may be a bit much. I think 13 is a nice, happy
medium. And then some kind of a congressional mandate to stop it.
Congressional mandate to perhaps stop it unless people see it fit to expand it at some point in the future. There could be unforeseen issues happen in the future. Maybe some big philosophical revolution happens and we all realize, you know, that maybe that's cool. But yes, I believe that it should be, for the time being, no more.
Well, that's what we did.
And no less.
That's what we did with the Judicial Act of 9.
Yep.
Right? In the post-Civil War. So that's exactly why we did it, and that's why we have the number 9. You just think that there should be 13 or 15. Yeah. So if Donald Trump is elected, you would support Donald Trump getting 4 more justices?
It's in his constitutional right. If they pass through the Senate, then I can't do anything about that.
Okay. So you wouldn't have a problem with that?
I wouldn't have a problem with it is a bit disingenuous. I may disagree with the justice. I probably would disagree with the justices he appoints, but if he does it and they get through the Senate, obviously.
They all will.
Most probably, because the Senate is right.
Yeah.
Then that's...
That's where we fundamentally disagree. I don't want Donald Trump to be able to stack the courts. Thank God he has never even tried it, and he has never implied that he would try it, because he believes... I know you mentioned an authoritarian, but he's actually limited the scope of government in many ways. As a matter of fact, those are the major grievances against Donald Trump, is lowering taxes and lowering regulations and supporting free speech laws that protect individual considerations.
Hold on,
let's continue. Let me finish here.
That's an interesting one.
And then we go to this idea that you believe, for some reason, even though you're a political science student, that the Supreme Court's job is to represent the will of the people as opposed to interpret the Constitution.
No,
let me ask you this.
All government
the job, actually, of the Senate, of the President and the Senate, to confirm a justice. And this is why there is a precedent that's been set of the incoming President releasing his list of potential Supreme Court justices. I'm sure you're aware of this. Donald Trump did it. He released another list. Joe Biden has not done it. He said you'll have to elect him to figure out what's in there, right? Because the job is not simply to pick people who are representative of the majority will of the people. Majority will of the people, 1 point, supported slavery. Doesn't mean that it's right. Majority of the people didn't necessarily think that women should get credit cards. Thank God an all-white male Supreme Court ruled that women should be able to get credit cards, right? The Credit Card Authorization Act. So my point is, it's not just about the majority will of the people, it's about interpreting the Constitution.
Yeah.
That is the job of the President in nominating. That's why he releases his list of potential nominees. That is the job of the Senate confirming, not confirming someone who will simply answer to mob rule. And that is really a scary preposition when you combine it with this idea that any president, any executive going forward can simply add more seats. And I don't think that that's a system of government that's functional. I don't think that it's one that's tenable. And I think, thank God, that we actually had, even though we didn't have a diverse group, according to your definition, diverse people in the Supreme Court, they made sure that there were equal rights passed for women. They made sure that there were equal rights passed for African Americans, because it didn't matter your personal point of view. What mattered was constitutional interpretation and individual liberty. And it doesn't mean we're always perfect, but we eventually got it right, regardless of color of skin or genitals hanging between their legs. Kit, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it. Thank you. Seems pretty cut and dry to me, but what do you think? What's the best case for why ACB should not be confirmed? And is court packing a legitimate strategy or just underhanded partisanship and bullshittery? As always, sound off in the comments below. We will see you in the next installment of Change My Mind. Hey there, YouTube viewer. If you like this installment of Change My Mind, click on one of these other installments playing in a box. It's the only way you can find it, because if you search it, it may not show up because it's controversial and YouTube wants to... discourage that, the controversy with the Change My Mind.